Praise God. There we go. Don't you wish you all had a switch on the back that turns on? Turn you off? Hey. You're already messing with my pants this morning. I wonder what she's going to find next week to remind the people about my pants.
Stand up, and that'll
be done. Yeah. More ways than one, yeah. All right. How's everybody this morning?
Good.
Praise God. You're looking sharp. Must have razor blades for breakfast, huh? Where's my drum? Yeah. All right. For those of you who get notes, I added a scripture at the beginning. We're going to go to Titus chapter 3. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, how important he is in our lives. Praise God. You can't overemphasize the Holy Spirit. We can only underemphasize the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank God for this wonderful gift we've been given. Titus chapter 3, verse 4. When the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we had done, praise God, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, see, not by our works, but by his grace, by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, I went and found the scripture because it used the word renewing there and ties it to the Holy Spirit. So, and we're going to talk about a process this morning of the Holy Spirit inside us and the Holy Spirit on us, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit. What the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, we're going to look at that scripture, dwells in us now. We got born again immediately. We said, Jesus be my Lord. We went from the old life to the new life on the inside. Now, the rest of our time on earth is working on this renewing process. I use the word work, you know, in light of the scripture. It's the Holy Spirit who is the renewal agent, we can put it that way. Okay? Thank God we have that. Now, here's what Vine says about this renewing. Adjustment of the moral and spiritual vision and thinking to the mind of God. Adjustment of the moral and spiritual vision and thinking to the mind of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit is helping us take our mind and get it in line with the mind of God, which is designed to have a transforming effect upon life. And that's what it does. Remember we said the three words, information, application, and then transformation. So this is what we're after. We hear the word, we apply the word, there's a transformation in our life. And in this area of transformation, as far as the soulish realm and the heart's concerned, it's not just one time and it's over with. It's a lifetime process in a way that we get an area and we get our heart around that, and we get God involved, and God's way involved in our heart, and then we change. Goes on to say, not a fresh bestowment of the Spirit, but a revival of his power developing the Christian life. So we have help developing the Christian life. This passage stresses the continual operation of the indwelling Spirit of God. Continual operation of the indwelling Spirit of God. It wasn't, there was a lot of, probably wasn't taught that way, but a lot of our understanding of the Holy Spirit growing up in a Pentecostal church was, you have this experience. You get born again, you get baptized in the Spirit, you speak in tongues, ta-da! That's pretty much it. Now, hopefully heaven's coming soon because there's nothing else to be thinking about. It was the way that we thought about it a lot of times. Was we had these experiences along the way. Now we're going to try to hang in there till Jesus comes. But there's a continual renewing of the Holy Spirit, and he's there to help us every day. He goes to bed with us at night, gets up with us in the morning. He's always there. Sometimes just along for the ride. Thank God he doesn't leave us. In the Old Testament, David was kind of worried in a sense. He said, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. King had the Holy Spirit upon him. We get the Holy Spirit in us. Now, let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. I want to read verse 7 in the Amplified because we're going to bring out these words again that we've talked about before. John 16, 7. It's in red, so Jesus is talking. If it's not in red in your Bible, you got cheated. Just kidding. However, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, and advantageous for you that I go away. And again, that must have been hard for them to hear. Their whole life was lived around Jesus. He says, it's going to be good for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby, will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Praise God. Amen. It's not just that he would be here, but he'd be in close fellowship with us. Praise God. In fact, he's going to live in us. Go back to chapter 14, John. Think about those words, Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby. That word paraclete is such a good word that there was no... The Amplified felt there was only one. There wasn't only one word that would define it, and so it spread it out through those seven. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now I was thinking about that, and I thought that there's probably more there than what we're seeing, because it's not a you do this, you do that, I did this, you do that kind of thing. And there's another... Well, the way it reads in the original language is this. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. See, that to me, that's a lot different. Because you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's not, you know, like I won't love you if you don't keep my commandments. It's, you love me, you know that I love you, that's which would be why you love him. We keep his commandments. You don't have to be browbeaten. We don't have to be... He doesn't make us feel guilty. He doesn't send somebody along to make us feel guilty. He doesn't send the preacher to make us feel guilty. He just says, I love you. Love me. You'll do my commandments. It'll be just a given thing. All right, we read on. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, and the world cannot receive. Notice the world cannot receive. Because it neither sees him nor knows him. Somebody that's not born again can't get baptized in the Holy Spirit. They need to get born again first. Okay. Because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be where? In you. Everybody say, in you.
In you.
Is that good news?
Yeah.
In you. Praise God. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And when it says... Another helper, there's two words in the original language in the New Testament for another. One is another of a different kind. This is the word for another of the same kind. Just like me, Jesus is saying, send him back. Well, we know a lot about Jesus because we have the Gospels laid out for us and we see what he did and who he is. And Jesus said this, saying, just somebody like me, he's going to be not only with you, he's going to be in you. Another helper of the same kind. The word for paraclete, you know, I read somewhere one time that one of the ways that they understood it in a military sense was that there were sometimes when they were, if you ever watched Gladiator, is it? Ever seen that movie? They, you know, when they're fighting, it's not like the enemy's way over there and they shoot stuff at it and he shoots stuff back. But they're right in there fighting with each other, and they almost, you know, you have to watch, you know, take out your own guy and that kind of thing. So I guess they would sometimes, one guy would tie himself to the other back of the other guy. So they had somebody behind him, and they would, you know, you got, the Bible calls it in the Old Testament, you have a rear guard. Nobody can sneak up on you because you have this paraclete, and he's tied to us, he's in us, and so he's always there, praise God. Back to John chapter 4. Interesting that John says a lot about the Holy Spirit, the coming, the place he has in us. Verse 13, Jesus was talking to this woman at the well. He certainly had a way with personal evangelism, didn't he? Amen? He didn't come up to her and say, you get saved or you're going to go to hell. I've seen people preach that way. Doesn't usually work that way. So he's talking with her, conversing back and forth, and she's this Samaritan, not even supposed to be talking to him, but he always had time for everybody, like he has time for us. Verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water there at a well will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. In him, praise God. It's like a well. It's like a bubbling well. There's always refreshment there. There's always more. And this is talking particularly about being born again. And there is in us this bubbling, this well, this spring of great water. If you ever had a chance to drink water that's artesian, that's really just coming right out of the ground, and the ground has filtered it, good stuff. It's usually very cold and refreshing. And this is in us all the time. A fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. All right, now go to 1 John. I have the wrong thing written down. This would be 1 Corinthians. That's not even close. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Because I know that there are six chapters in 1 John. So that can't be. Okay. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Is that talking about your body's temple, Holy Spirit? Yeah. That one? Okay. Yeah. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Verse 19, did I say that? Who is where? In you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Not trying to make you feel guilty, but just saying the Holy Spirit lives here. Use your body to glorify God. Don't use it any other way. Now, I think that with me personally, I'll put it that way. The more that I can understand something, the more attention I can put to it. There are some things from God we just got to receive, and whether you understand it or not, he says that's the way it is, so you do it. When I was growing up, my parents were I thought, good disciplinarians, and there was no mom saying something and we say, why? Say why and duck. No, she wasn't like that, but if they're saying, particularly my dad, when he was home from truck driving, if he says to do it, you do it. You don't question anything about it. And God is totally out for our good. So if he says something to do, whether we understand it or not yet, we should do it, because sometimes you understand along the way. But if you can understand up front a little bit, sometimes it helps. And so I was thinking, why? Is that what's that a question for? What analysts want to know why? Why is this Holy Spirit? What is he there for? Because, you know, like I said, we grew up, he's there along for the ride, I guess. And we're not giving him much to do. Maybe he plays solitaire, I don't know, on the inside. So I thought about why. So John chapter 1, Gospel of John this time. I think I have the right one this time. I know there's one chapter in the book of John. Okay. Chapter 1, verse 12. speaking of Jesus, but as many as received him, to them gave he the right. Some translations say the power. The word is authority. To become children of God. To those who believe in his name. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. He gave us, when he comes in, he gives us authority. Which is, in our cases, is really, in a sense, even more important than power, because he's the power source, but he gives us authority as children of God. Children in the family have authority.
Amen.
Children, everything in the household that belongs to the parents also belongs to the kids. And when they understand that, they have no problem tapping into it. They go in the refrigerator. Amen? They eat your cereal before you get a chance to eat it in the morning. It's the same house. It's, everything in there belongs to them. You can even put your name on something and it's theirs. It's old time. They don't live there anymore. I guess I need to forgive, huh? But there's authority. So what's this authority about? I'm not going to be sick because I have authority over this. This body is the Lord's. So Paul said, I buffet my body. Sometimes we buffet our body too, but that's another story. We buffet our body and beat it and put it in, not in a physical sense, but we tell it what to say, what to do, because we're in authority. We have authority here. We have authority. Cars start in the name of Jesus. You know? You've all experienced this, haven't you? You spoke to something and used your authority. Amen? And it's a growing experience. Sometimes we tried and didn't seem to get any results, but as our faith, as your faith is, so be it unto you. Amen? So we use that authority. All right, back to, then we looked at John 16, those seven words. So for one thing, he gives us authority. Think about those words, those comforter, counselor, and so on. So that would mean he comforts us, which I looked up the words and got the gist of where we're going with these. He gives us hope. He gives hope in troubled times. He gives hope in troubled times. The hardest person to help is a person who's hopeless. When people lose their hope, until they pull that back and decide, I'm going to continue to hope on, there's not much you can say. I mean, you can say it, but they have to light a fire under that. They have to help you out a little bit. How many have been there? You know. So you got to hope on. You got to pick up your hope again. Don't lose hope. Don't go there and have to come back. Just don't go there. But in difficult times, he gives us hope. He counsels us. He's the counselor. He gives advice and wise counsel. And so, I don't know if you do, but I regularly say, Holy Spirit, how do I deal with this? And it's not like you usually hear an audible voice, but all of a sudden you start doing it and you know how to do it and you know what to do next. Be good to ask him instead of just plunging on our own. He says he's the helper. He helps us. According to Scripture, he helps us when we pray. We don't know how we should pray as we ought, but he helps us. And he helps us in our weakness, which means our inability to produce results. We can't produce the results on our own, so he helps us. It's God's grace. He's a manifester of God's grace. He helps us in those times. He's our advocate. He represents us. He's a lawyer. And he's free of charge. And he calls you back. You can find them, you know, when you need them. If you have any experience with lawyers, if you're a lawyer, I'm sorry. We need them, praise God. But this one you can get anytime you need him, because he's in us and he represents us. It's good to have a representative like that. He defends us, he maintains us, and he supports us, all in that word. He's also a strengthener. He strengthens us. So So we can boldly declare, strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, praise God. And then he's an intercessor, he intercedes. He's an intercessor for us here on earth, and Jesus is ever sitting at the right end of the Father, and he's making intercession for us. Man, we're covered. You know, praise God for all the prayer groups that are around the country and around the world. It's all that's good. But we have two really good ones. One of them lives in us, and one of them is sitting right beside Father God. That's a pretty good place to be. And he stands by. He's a standby. He stands by us. And he can be relied upon even in emergencies. Something sneaks up on us that we didn't see coming. The Holy Spirit's there. Amen? If, how many years ago was it? I'm sitting out in the living room and I hear a scream coming from the kitchen. I didn't know what was going on. I thought it wasn't good. It was a snake in the kitchen. Apparently it had been under the sink and woke up. Probably said, how did I get here, you know? And came crawling out and Diane didn't like that. I don't know what it was about that. But Holy Spirit was there, praise God. And calmed me right down. Oh. Romans chapter 8.
The helping was in me catching the snake.
Yes. I watched.
Yeah.
From a distance. Yes. Didn't want to get in your way. Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of Him, I think we could say, if as is the case, the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead would also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So we have this anointing in us that heals, that brings life, that causes our bodies to renew. I think doctors would even say, all things being equal, if we just let our bodies, you know, don't get anything in the way, they heal themselves. Why is that true? Because we have a Holy Spirit, especially for Christians, who lives on the inside, and he gives life, he quickens the mortal body. It's mortal, it's wearing out in a sense, but he also continues to give life every day. Amen. All right, the book of Jude. Only has one chapter. Verse 20. Next to last book in the Bible. Here's how it reads in the Amplified. But you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. Make progress. Rise like an edifice, higher and higher, out praying in the Holy Spirit. So what else does, why do we want this? What's the Holy Spirit doing? He's edifying, which means it's the word for house. He builds us like a house. And also it's the idea of, he charges us like a battery. And when we're taking advantage of him being on the inside of us, what he wants us to do, he doesn't want to just go along for the ride for the rest of our lives. We're praying in the Holy Spirit when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he edifies, charges like a battery. You know, story with Kenneth Copeland and praying in the Spirit didn't feel like anything was happening, but there was a charge there. And the same thing is happening in us. You pray in the Spirit and you don't always feel a lot of things. You don't always feel charged up, but something's happening. You know, I don't know if the battery feels charged when it's been hooked up to the charger, but it's charged. They get the charge back in there, and then when there's something needed, it's there. Praise God. The Holy Spirit will do that for us. But that's something that we cooperate with. It's not just he's there, but we pray in the Spirit. Now, let's look at, that's all that we're talking about particularly, especially, not just entirely, but especially the Spirit within. Let's talk about the Spirit upon. Acts chapter 1. Because we have this twofold work of the Holy Spirit as far as we're concerned. Not everybody believes this, but I believe Scripture backs it up. Not only is he on inside, but he's on us too also. He's come on us. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus is talking, but you shall receive power. Everybody say power.
Power.
It's the word dunamis, dynamite. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Power, dunamis, strength, ability. Actually, Strong's defines it as power to perform miracles is on the inside of us by the Holy Spirit. And notice this has come upon you. It doesn't say in you. It says come upon you because you already have the Holy Spirit in you. Now the same Holy Spirit comes upon you and anoints you in a sense in the way that the Old Testament people were anointed. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit in you is especially for you. The Holy Spirit on you is especially for you to minister in the kingdom of God, to do kingdom works. It has a good effect on us too, obviously, but it's also to minister for him. So the Holy Spirit comes upon us because what does he do? He makes us witnesses. It's not to witness, it's to be a witness. He makes us into, here's what the Strong says about that word witness. One who can and does aver, which means give verbal assent to what he has seen or heard or knows. Witness. So we have, in a sense, we've done all those things. It's on in the Spirit. We have heard what the Bible says, and we know because we've experienced it. And so we can go out and tell people, what's the best way to get people born again? Your testimony. What happened to you? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. Praise God. So we had a change in our life, and we can tell people what we did to get that change, how we cooperated with God. The people who are most ripe to come out of darkness and into light are people who, in the same family, in the same place of work or whatever, are around people whose lives have been changed. That's why, you know, if we're going to baptize somebody in water, invite them along. Invite the unbelievers along because they need to see and hear the testimony, the witness that somebody's life's been changed. Praise God. How many had their life changed? Praise God. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it, you know, but it was changed. He lives in the inside. How many got him on the outside too? Came upon. Praise God. All right. John chapter 7. In verse 37, we said that the Holy Spirit in is like a spring bubbling up for us. It's always there, always that refreshing. John 7:37, Jesus said, they didn't think Jesus was going to come to this feast, but kind of snuck in. And then at the right time, he stood up and began to talk. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So no one could be born again yet. When they got born again, then they got around to get to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So important was it that when Philip went to Samaria, I think it was, and there was great joy in that city because people were getting born again, they sent Peter and John down to get them baptized in the Holy Spirit too. They were already born again, but they thought, well, they ought to have the whole thing. Because they were close enough to being Jews for them to allow that. And then Peter had to go to Cornelius' house and get straightened out about the Gentiles, thank God for that, because I'm one of them, to open up the door to us, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So, the Holy Spirit in, the Holy Spirit upon. In for me, upon me to make me a witness, a minister for the Lord. Now, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, because I'm back to my question again, why? What's the reason for this Holy Spirit upon? Acts 10:38. Probably already underlined in your Bible. Acts 10:38. How are your rumblings? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing bad, oh good, and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now somebody said, well, that's Jesus, but you see, the same anointing that's in over on Jesus is on us. The Old Testament says the anointing ran down the head, down the beard, and got all over the whole body. Amen? Same anointing. So the same anointing that's on the head, the Lord Jesus Christ, is on us too. The same anointing. And so we can go about doing good, and healing. The healing power of God can come through us to minister not only to us, but to other people. Some people have a particular gift of healing, gifts of healings, but every one of us can, as a believer, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. This chapter 12 lists the gifts of the Spirit. Chapter 12, verse 11 says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing each one individually as he wills. One of the first couple of verses in this chapter talks about the Spirit is the administrator of the gifts. So why the Holy Spirit upon? Because the gifts are distributed by this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And every one of us gets some. I said every one of us gets some, praise God. And the best one is the one that's necessary at the time. So when you need to come up with a word that you wouldn't know otherwise, you can have a word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Praise God. You can have gifts of healings in operation. You can have faith that goes above your faith. Praise God. The gift of faith. These things can operate in your life as you give way to this Holy Spirit who's come upon us. Last scripture, 1 John chapter 4. In verse 4. 1 John 4:4. Towards the end of your Bible. You are of God, little children. That's a good line in itself. And have overcome them. Have overcome them. Not going to overcome them. Have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who's in the world. It's not a fair contest. It's not a just barely winning. It's not a tie and then right at the last minute he pulls it out. It's a rout. He's greater. The one on the inside of us is greater. Those mounting financial problems, he's greater. Being in a wheelchair, he's greater. Relationships falling apart, he's greater, praise God. Whatever it is that's coming against you, he's greater. Now, let me just say this in closing here. We grew up singing songs like, oh Lord, send the power just now. There was a song coming down, 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 coming down, down. The glory of the Lord's coming down. When the saints begin to pray, the Lord will have his way. The glory of the Lord's coming down. Not necessary. The singer pray that way? Because he's already here. We don't have to calm down. We don't have to hope he shows up. He's here, praise God. He's here, he came with us. He abides with us, he'll go home with us, praise God. It's not just even delegated to an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. Praise God, he's in your house, he'll be in your car. Might as well take advantage of this Holy Spirit. Because he's good, he's very good. He's just like Jesus. And he just wants to do you good. Cooperate together with him, praise God. Let's worship.